Hola, hola. It's your girl, Erica from America. Welcome to the Confidence Chronicles podcast. This podcast is all about helping you stand in who you are. Stop giving a fuck what people think about you. Start standing as your fully expressed self. As you are, queen, as is, there is no filter needed. You are fucking awesome. And I am here to remind you, I'm a confidence coach, a business mentor, a speaker, an author, and I am obsessed with women standing up, showing up, and creating their confidence. And I cannot wait to dig into today's episode with you. My love. Okay, today on the podcast, I have my dear darling amiga, Janice Torres, who is the founder of Yo Quiero Dinero podcast. She's been on the show before. I'm going to link everything in the show notes. But this time, she's on the show because she has just written a new book, Financially Lit. Oh my goodness. This is a Latina's guide to making money, to understanding money, to becoming wealthy. I can't even tell you how happy I am that this book exists and that she wrote it. So we're going to dive deep into what this book is about. We're going to chat about crypto, about college, about her story, about what you're going to gain if you get this book. I'm honestly so honored to have this woman in my life and be able to witness another Latina standing in her power and impacting the world in the massive way that she does. So I hope you enjoy today's episode and hit the link in the show notes and make sure that you order her book. Let's do it. Janice, mi amor, welcome back to the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me back.
Girl, I'm so happy in the intro I got to be like, author. Holy shit. Congratulations, Financially Lit, a modern Latina's guide to level up your dinero and become financially poderosa by Janice Torres. How does it feel to be an author, girl?
You know, I cried when I got the book, the case of books from the publisher. I was just like, oh my God, this is the hardest thing I've ever done. Why do people do this more than once? And I'm asking you.
Oh my God. You guys, no, but listen, seriously, we need all like, the flowers. It is so fucking
hard. For real. No, but seriously, I'm just like, it's such an honor to have been able to write this book. To be able to put it out with a traditional publisher, because the stats around Latina authors is abysmal, as is the stats with Latinas and everything. Mm-hmm. But we're actively trying to work to change that. And the fact that they actually entertained the idea of putting me on the cover is wild, because again, there's so many personal finance books with a bunch of old white men on them. And just for me to be out here in the bright pink Barbie blazer, just like, hello, yes, we can be rich too. Just like giving you permission just by seeing that shit on the shelf. I'm very, very excited about what is to come.
Oh my God. And now it's launched. What was your launch day?
April 30th. And I have a fun story about that that we have to talk about.
Yes.
Okay. So for those of you who've been following my journey for a very long time, April has this like weird creative energy for me. April was when I launched my food blog. April was when I launched Yo Quiero Dinero. And April 30th, specifically of 2021, was the day that I handed in my resignation letter to go into full-time entrepreneurship. So this book is coming out 3 years to the day that I said, I'm taking the chance on myself. I don't know what's going to happen, but I know I'm going to figure this shit out. And what will be, will be. And so here we are, what has become is a whole ass book. That's what happened.
Oh my God. Can I just say 3 years you've been in this business?
Full time. But in the content creation world, it's been over a decade.
Wow. Because you started with the blog.
Mm-hmm.
And now you're like the boss blog queen that teaches everyone how to make all the passive income online. All the things you need to read in the book. So tell me, this book, like, when did you know that this book needed to be written? Like, did you, because you said, like, there was no one out there, there's no Latinas, there's no financial books really for us that, and I will say, I know that there's some small creators that are out here doing their self-published thing, and high five to all of you. We recognize you, keep doing your thing.
better to get published, like by a publisher, and get a very sexy book deal, which you got, my friend. Like, they paid you to make this book. Tell me that.
Well, for me, there was a couple of like key indicators that this was something I was going to have to take on, even though looking back, I never could have imagined, having my whole ass face on a book. Like, this is ridiculous. This is crazy. But I think it very quickly after starting the podcast, I realized that yes, there's a lot of people who love to consume information in that way and learn. But there's something very powerful about being able to like go on your bookshelf and flip through some pages and answer the question that you have. And not only that, but the power to be able to like give this to somebody after you've absorbed all the lessons. There's something sacred about that process, and I think that's why authorship is like, hello, it's the original content creation. It's like the thing that lives beyond you, beyond social media algorithms and all the crazy shit that's going on in the world today. Like, books are the OG form of learning. And so, talking to so many people on the podcast, hearing these recurring themes of the mindset stuff that comes up for us as Latinas and the systemic shit that's at play too, the Latina wage gap and systemic oppression and racism and all the things, it's not like that's where the story should end. That's actually where the story needs to begin, right? And so for, I think for a lot of us, it's been like, well, we just have accepted the struggle because nobody else has given us a path out of that. And after talking to so many people, especially in our community who have made it out, I realized like we do have a path out. This is not like we just have to opt into the struggle and that's the only option we have. There are choices. There are people from our community that are doing this. And the best way to empower even more of us to do so is to give them the tangible information, but coming from a source that they can be seen by. Because I one of my favorite quotes right now, especially with regards to like the importance of showing up as a person of color in these spaces where we have not seen ourselves represented, is the idea of the messenger is as important as the message. Because as a coach, you and I both know this. If you give somebody the tactics, the strategies, the checklist, the blueprint, but they haven't done the work up here to A, believe that they are worthy, to make those shifts, to confront those emotions, to face your fucking trauma. It doesn't matter how many things I can tell you to do. You will not open that investing account. You will not stop spending your credit card on your credit cards. You will not face your student loan debt. You're not going to do any of that shit until you tackle the mindset stuff. And so much of that is combated by seeing people who you can identify with and who resonate with you, who are talking about something that you can connect with.
That's, can I
That's
tell
why
you
this book needed to exist.
my fucking favorite when you sent the book over? Because I was very special because we're friends and I got to see some stuff early and I was just like licking the paper. I was so happy about the chapter names. I was so happy. And obviously, I know you. You would never do something that's stuffy and gross and ugh. And I think one of the things that I love about you, and the same thing that I do, and a lot of Latinas out there are doing, the younger women are doing, I think like under 50, under 50, under 60, we're doing is like, we're breaking that shit down. ABC 1, 2, 3, like Cardi B style. Like, there's some words, girl, especially in the financial world that I'm like, excuse me, what does that mean? Like, what is that? You know, it's already a taboo topic for everyone, the whole world. And women in general, we stay away from money and we go, oh, I don't know about my numbers and all the money stuff and like the cute young girl. And now you got Latinas where we don't know anything about this. Nobody's teaching us this. Our culture doesn't share it. So for you to break it down in such like Jenny from the Block way, girl.
Thank you.
It, and also it's amazing ass content. Like, it's actual tangible shit that you can do and actionable, but it's broken down in a way that's like, hey, you're invited. It's inclusive. Everybody here can sit at the table, can read this, can understand it and action it. So tell us, I know you were on the podcast before. Go and listen to that. I'm going to link it in the show notes. You have a background where you unfortunately got to see firsthand how your reader feels. So you really were your own audience. And then tell us a little bit about that in case somebody hasn't listened, even though they're going to go listen after this.
Yeah, you know, so it's funny because I didn't realize in the process of writing the book I was going to have to relive my life. Like it's essentially part autobiography, part like, you know, personal finance strategy, which, you know, if we think about any content creator that, you know, you follow or that you're inspired by, part of the reason why you connect with them is their personal story. So I've always like just shared the journey because I think that just gives context, like what I'm talking about. I'm not just like somebody who's out here just spitting stuff out that I read in a book or listened to on a podcast. It's like, no, this is my lived experience. And so I can tell you because I've done all these things. And then, so I think the overarching theme of my life has been to quote unquote pursue the American dream, as we're told, go to school, get the job, buy the house, get married, make the six figures, like boom, 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 boom. Yes, eldest daughter, I'm out here fucking slaying, allegedly. But, you know, externally, it's like, oh, damn, look, Janice, she's a model child. Look at her doing all these things. But inside, I just felt broken. I felt like I was living somebody else's life. I'm like, I don't like this job. I don't like where I live, but I bought a house here because that's what just people tell you you're supposed to do as a responsible adult. I'm making a bunch of money. I don't know what's happening with it. Why am I not happy? What's going on? And so I would say the second half of my adulthood has been the process of dismantling all of those things that I thought I wanted and recreating a life that's based around something completely different, some new version of the American dream. So, you know, I quit the job, I divorced the marriage, I sold the house, like I did all the shit to like dismantle everything that I thought I would want, and I'm happier than I've ever fucking been. And
Very
the thing that has facilitated both, you know, those it's expensive lessons to learn that you don't want to be a homeowner. It's expensive to get divorced. You know, it's expensive to start a business and quit your career. But the thing that has allowed me to do all these things is becoming financially literate. And this is why I want people to understand the true power of money. Because when you have money, you have options. You do not have to stay in that shitty fucking job or that shitty fucking marriage or that shitty environment if you have money. And so I think as much as we talk about like money doesn't buy happiness and da 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 bullshit, okay? Money gives you the access to create whatever that version of happy is. If that's working for yourself, if that is being a digital nomad, if that is owning a bunch of real estate, if that is being a single Pringle rich tia who just gets to spoil her little nieces and nephews and not have to deal with motherhood, because like, bitch, I don't want that. Whatever it is that you want, money will facilitate those options for you. So we need to be learning about it.
Oh my God. Okay, so what is the thing that you see? Because I know you do this, you got courses about this, you speak to a lot of people. The podcast, Yo Quiero Dinero, goes off. What are you like past 1 million downloads now?
Yeah, I think we're at like 1.5 at this point.
Girl, bam, 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 bam. Watch out. Okay. So, what do you see? What's the biggest thing that you think is stopping Latinas from becoming financially lit?
Oof. Well, this is a definitely a not a simple, straightforward answer. But if I had to pick the overarching theme, it's all the mindset shit. It really is. We are so good at playing small because our culture literally like reinforces that. Calladita, te ves más bonita. Like literally, when you're quiet, you're pretty. So we have this shit ingrained in us to not advocate for ourselves, to not ask for more, to not want more, to believe that asking for money or negotiating your salary or raising your prices or demanding that your partner gives you access to financial information in your marriage is somehow uncouth. You know, it's like you don't do that. It's not ladylike. And this is why so many people in our community have an issue pursuing wealth, because wealth requires advocacy. That shit doesn't just happen. You have to be unapologetic in your pursuit of wealth. You have to job hop your way to six figures and do a career change if your career is not allowing you to do that. You have to get okay with taking risks, which is how you build wealth in the stock market, with real estate, with business. You got to get really in a place where like nobody else's opinion matters more than yours, and nobody else's like, you know, how you have to trust your gut. You know, and I think a lot of us worry too much about what other people are saying. We take a lot of advice from people who aren't even living lives that we should be aspiring to live. And we care too much. We care too much about what everybody else has to say about what the shit that we're doing versus like trusting yourself. Yeah. And if you don't see an example of what you want to become, you got to go and surround yourself with other people. Because that's another thing too. Sometimes we got to get real uncomfortable in spaces where you do not belong because it is your job to be the first.
Girl, I felt that in my soul. I felt that in my soul. I'm pretty sure I hit you up for my book to be like, tell me all the things about how you feel like you weren't seen in the spaces. And I'll tell you, from freaking Australia, I miss your Puerto Rican ass. Okay,
I miss you too.
Non-MSG sasong in this country. I mean, I'll take the MSG sasong at this point. Fuck it, right? Like, okay, a couple questions for you. So who did you have? Where did you go? What did you do to become who you are, in the sense of how did you see that? How did you know what was possible? Did you know what was possible? Did you just bang your way through the dark and figure it out? Did you have someone that you look to? Tell us about that. Like, how did you get that for yourself? Because I know now you're being that for other people, but who was that for you?
So I definitely was not exposed to like the idea of wealth in a way that felt attainable until I was probably like an adult in corporate, right? Because then you start working with a bunch of different people. Even in college, though, I felt like in college I finally met like kids that had privilege. That I was like, oh shit, like y'all got had tutors, like y'all were out here playing tennis and shit. Okay, that's cool. Yeah, like I was introduced to sushi by my college roommate because it's something I never fucking had. You know, like we don't eat sushi in the hood. Like, what are you talking about?
This shit's wrong.
Yeah. So just like being exposed to different cultures and like people from different social, you know, statuses in college, I think was the first inkling for me. The second thing was working as a bank teller in college, actually. Like, that's where I really got to see like the life of the haves and the have-nots, because I was cashing all their paychecks, you know. And I would see when people would come into the bank, they were clearly undocumented, they would try to cash their check, the check would be bouncing from the business owner who was supposed to be paying them. So I saw what it's like to not have financial power in those situations. But then I would see the business owner walk in with $100,000 in cash, and this was the day's income, and we had to count that shit. And I'm just like, I want to be that guy. I want to be that guy with the duffel full of like hundreds. Okay. So that was like my first inkling that there's like a lot of options out here when it comes to where you want to be in life financially. But when I really started becoming super, like a super student of the world of money, was when I bought a house and ended up having like a mental health breakdown, because something about the house represented this prison cell that I had just built for myself in the form of a big ass mortgage, in the form of, well, now I have to pay this house. So now I have to stay stuck in this job that I hate. And I don't even like living in New Jersey. So why the fuck did I do all this? So it was this whole like, girl, you're an autopilot. You just did this thing. Why are we doing this? And I ended up in a psychiatrist's office, and they're just like, you know, trying to prescribe me medication to handle my anxiety and depression. And I said, this can't be the solution. I have to find out what else is out there for me, because it can't just be like everybody's following the same blueprint and I'm stuck here. So I started Googling, how do you quit your job? Which is a great thing to Google. If you're ever bored, just head on Google and be like, how do you quit your job? And I discovered the financial independence movement, and I started listening to podcasts, and I started reading blogs, and I started hearing about this alternative lifestyle that people were pursuing to actively give themselves financial freedom, get out of the corporate rat race, and use the power of investing and entrepreneurship to do so. And from that moment in 2016, I was obsessed. And I didn't have any personal mentors. These were all people on the internet. These were content creators who were literally teaching me all the shit that I wish I had learned. And it was a specific podcast, the Journey to Launch podcast, that gave me permission as a woman of color to pursue this, because she's a Black woman, Jamila Soufran. She's the first woman of color that I heard talking about this concept. Mm-hmm. And when I saw her and her journey, I was like, well, shit, if she can do it, I can do it too. And that was all I needed.
Oof, that is the line right there. That is the freaking line, because you see people that make it possible and then you're like, oh my God, I can do this. That has been such a big, I feel like for you, you share so openly about the money that you make, about the investments that you make, about the, you know, like you're out here showing the women that follow you what is possible.
Yeah.
And I'm sure overcoming taboos and bullshit that we got told, you don't talk about money, you don't share how much money you make, you don't this. And, you know, I think for me, it was a white lady, Brooke Castillo, who talked about money. And she's the only person that I first listened to that spoke about it so unapologetically, like almost like her listeners be like, damn, okay, give us a break. And she just like, I love money. And not because I just want to contribute, but because I want to love money and have nice things. And yeah. If we don't see it, like you said, we can't be it. We can't have it.
Yeah, so it's absolutely
freaking huge. Okay, question for you. College, would you recommend it? Yes or no? Damn, we got a little rapid fire. You didn't notice was coming.
Damn, okay. I recommend college if you have a very specific plan. I do not think that college is for everyone. I think we have enough examples of folks who literally are not even using their degrees, but are stuck with that debt. And, you know, college is the only thing that you can like spend money on and quit and still owe the money without the thing. You know, like imagine you go to buy a house and you end up without the house, but you still got the mortgage. Like that's shit's wild. Crazy. Mm. Right. So I think if you're going to go into a high paying field because you have the intention of using all that money to become financially free, go for it. Go into tech, go into STEM. I was a science major, so I knew I was going to make money. I do not think people need to be going to school for psychology unless you're going to go and become like a psychiatrist, you know, just like there's a lot of degrees that are completely fucking useless. Yeah. So unless you know the earning potential of that degree, and I would say if your salary coming out the gate is not at least equivalent to the entire like student loan debt that you have. So let's say you have $50,000 in student loan debt. If you're not making 50 grand that first year, that was not a good investment for me. That's kind of my benchmark. So I graduated with about 50K in debt. I got a job making $48,000 in my first year, which was not bad. Yeah. And by year seven, thanks to job hopping and salary negotiation, I was making over $100,000. So you have to be very intentional about the career you're going to pick, the earning potential. Take that shit with a grain of salt too, because there's so many people out here. I mean, some of the like the most intelligent people in the world are college dropouts. So we have to consider the fact that college is also built around the same structure and system that keeps us in that worker mindset versus the entrepreneur, investor, wealth building mindset. It's not the same.
Mm. All right. You heard it first. Crypto. And I'm like, rapid fire. I know.
What are we, what crypto regards to what? Is it a good investment or not?
What do you think about it? Like, what do you feel about that whole situation?
I mean, I think it's definitely interesting. I look at it from a very like analytical, you know, just studying kind of what's going on. I think it's very much on brand for like where our mindset is as a society. Mm. You know, people are becoming more like anti-establishment in general. And so crypto is like the epitome of that in the financial world of just deregulating currency. Do I think it has practical applications? Yes. Do I think that it's kind of too soon to tell? Probably also yes. Yeah. You know, because depending on who you talk to, some people are like, yeah, it's like a digital equivalent of gold. And others are like, oh, you know, it's a great way to just be able to transfer money to your friends and family without having to deal with like the Western Unions and the MoneyGrams of the world or whatever. Fine. I just think that for something to be an actual investment, there has to be some sort of like enough data for you to make an educated decision as to like what the future earning potential of this stuff is, right? Like we have 100 years worth of information on the stock market. There's enough data for us to know that like that actually works.
Yeah.
Crypto is so new. So I feel like if you want to learn about it, great. They have episodes on the podcast about it, but treat it like gambling at this point, yeah, because it's still very new and there's still a lot of regulation that is probably coming. There's a lot of industry changes. Obviously, we've seen the shit that's happened with like companies like FTX. There's a lot of scams in it. Mm-hmm. So proceed with caution, but be an educated consumer.
Yeah. It wouldn't be like your first thing if you were just starting to figure this
out. No, don't liquidate the 401k and put it all in Bitcoin. Like, let's relax. Okay. Fucking relax.
Okay. Investing in yourself, spending a lot of money on mentors, coaches, business mentors, programs. What do you think?
Yeah. I think that also has to be one of those things. Like, what are you hoping or what are you committed to getting out of this? Mm-hmm. Right. Because what people don't understand when it comes to investing in yourself, it's not just about signing up for the coaching program or buying the course. If you're not going to do any of the shit that your coach is telling you to do or that the course is outlining for you, mm-hmm. you know, the act of purchasing access to these spaces and to investing in yourself is the first step, but you actually have to implement the things that you're learning. So I think investing yourself 9 times out of 10 is going to be the best investment, but you got to be real about, are you in this? Are you committed to getting results, or are you just hoping that like some sort of what's that, like telepathic knowledge transfer shit's going to happen without you actually doing anything? Nobody's going to telepathically gift you success. You still got to do the work.
Yes, you do. There's no overnight. There's no magical beanstalk with the golden goose, girl. You are the
even though goose. These, you know, Instagram accounts with this faceless marketing shit will tell you, like, no, just do this for 2 weeks and you'll have 300,000 followers and $1 million. Shut up, please. Exactly. Just shut up.
And it's true. Like, even the passive income, I see how hard we work for passive motherfucking income. Okay.
Hello.
It's not so passive, y'all. Like, it ain't like you just sleep and that's it. Right. Like,
no, especially in the beginning. That's what people don't understand about passive income in general. It takes time to build, mm-hmm. you know, whether you're talking about it's going to take you time to build up a real estate portfolio, or it's going to take you a number of years to build up that investment portfolio or start that blog. Like, it all requires upfront work, but you have to have the long-term vision and give yourself enough time to actually achieve these realistic results.
Hell yeah, 100%. Speaking of property, I know you have a Airbnb in Puerto Rico, which is like,
I do.
Holy shit. That was also me living over here in Australia, watching you do that and renovate that and go there. I'm just like crying, watching you with a flag in the water with your man. And I'm like, oh my God. What do you think? Property, should you buy a house? Should you rent where you want to live and buy property? And what are the thoughts around that?
You know, it's funny because right now I'm being reminded of like why I just hate being a landlord, because the other day I get a call from my Airbnb guest that they like shattered the shower door. And so now I got to file a claim with like the Airbnb. I'm sure there was some domestic shit that went down between them because they were a little hood. I'm like, y'all gonna get a 1-star review on Airbnb. But it was a good reminder for me that like, okay, this is fun having my condo, but do I want to be like a whole ass landlord having a bunch of properties and dealing with humans? No, I don't want to do it. Been there, done that multiple times. I'm convinced. I feel like home ownership is a lifestyle choice.
Yeah.
It is not an investment because there's way too many things that can happen. You know, the market can change. The cost of the home that you anticipated having can go up. Right now in Florida, we're having a huge crisis with homeowners insurance because this is a high-risk state and we get hurricanes. Yeah. And there's been a lot of chaotic, catastrophic storms in the past like 7-8 years. And we've had a mass exodus of insurance providers. So now Floridians are paying the highest levels of insurance in the country. I'm talking about like $10,000 a year, which is insane. Okay. There's people who've had to flee the state because they cannot afford to insure their homes. You can't predict shit like that that's going to happen. Mm. You know, property taxes can increase. The neighbor next door might be cool and then they sell. And then you got some crazy that's moving in mm-hmm. next to you. Like, there's so much shit that can happen that you can't plan for that goes beyond the numbers. And so for me, I always tell people, if you want to own a home, great, go do it. But don't do it because somebody is telling you it's a good investment or because this is just what you do as a responsible adult. If it's not fit for the lifestyle that you want, go rent, Go be a digital nomad. Go live in your van. I don't care. Like, you got to do what's best for you. There is not a one size fits all for any of this stuff.
I remember like fighting. Like, it's so funny because I wasn't raised with my dad, but I always feel like Hamish, my husband, is like my dad, like the dad I never had. And he's like responsible and shit. And he's like, we're going to buy a house. And I'm like, I don't want to buy a house. I never want to own a home. I'm going to be a person of the world. Like, I'm going to live everywhere. And then the house, and like here in Australia, it's a very good idea because of the land and it's limited and we don't have like any people here. But it was so crazy because that shit is no joke. Like in the pandemic, when all the prices are the lowest and you ended up saving the money, but then it doesn't go back up and then you renovate it. And then you're like, okay, when is it going to go up to its value? Like then your interest rates are wiling out over here. Mm-hmm. So yeah, do your research, friends, do your research. Okay. Last question about little quick thing, savings. What do you think about having like putting all your money in a savings account? Or stocks or anything else?
You got to diversify your assets. It can't just be one and done, you know? And I think a lot of us are programmed to just save money. You know, maybe you had the abuelita who put the money under the mattress because she don't even trust the banks. Okay. And I just want to
something. She was onto something.
She was onto something, but also like we have the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation here in the United States that protects your money in your bank. So like, you don't need to put it in under the mattress. Last thing you want is for your house to burn down. And then like, what are you going to do? So it's important, I think, to have just different types of assets. Yes, you must have savings. Yes, you must have like this liquid cash that is available to you. I do recommend putting it in high yield savings accounts. I don't know if you have those in Australia, but if you do, I would investigate them. They might be called something else. But essentially, it's a savings account that has a higher interest than like a traditional checking account would. So you can get here in the States around like 4 to 5% on your money just by having it sit in your bank, which is nice. That is passive income. That is like the easiest form of passive income. And then when it comes to investments, you know, we all need to be prioritizing retirement because we are living longer. And one of the things I talk about in the book is that Latina women have the longest longevity of any group, of any type of human, okay? We live long as hell and we outlive our men. And so this is why you cannot afford to just let old hubby be managing all the money, because at some point hubby's gonna be gone. And then if you don't know anything about what's been happening with the money, whether it's like you thought you had $500,000 of investments, but you found out he actually sold all them shits and you got $500,000 worth of debt that you didn't know about until he dropped dead. That's a fucking problem. And I cannot tell you how many women in my own family have become widowed and faced very shocking like financial information that was not revealed until their husbands died. And it's just like, what? We are not about to be repeating history. So you need to be financially independent as a woman, whether you're single, married, or anything between.
Girl, you are so right, because it's so crazy when you get the older population. My mother-in-law, I love her to death, but she's not Puerto Rican. I can tell. I was like, Phyllis Kramer, what you doing? Like, she doesn't know how to do anything. No sabe pagar los biles. She doesn't know where, like, the husband lost his wallet at the airport the other day. He lost, like, $3,000 in his wallet. And he's older. Like, I love my father-in-law, but he needs his wife to handle all that shit. And, like, they don't say anything because they don't talk to each other and they don't talk back. And it's very much, like, under your breath. And I'm like, yo, something happens. I think women in general, we just feel like we just be outliving because we have groups, we have social groups, we have best friends, we cry our damn tears, right? Like, and I'm just like, ma, like she has no idea what will happen. And they're in their 70s and 80s, but it's something that's going on so much. So if you're listening to this and this is you, get onto it. Or if this is your parent, have the conversation with them. No one wants to talk about having a will, but let me tell you, when Gio died and I was 23 years old, I wish I would have, you know, I wish I had his word instead of me fighting with his family about what I think he wanted. And we won't know, you know, these are the conversations that are so important. Has your mom read your book? And if so, what does she think about it?
She literally was started. Well, I left a copy of it in my condo in Puerto Rico because I wanted her to read it next time she was there. And she was sending me videos of herself crying hysterically while she's like reading the book on the beach. And I just sent her a signed copy of the hardcover that just came in. And she was just like, Thank you for reminding me that I did something right as a mom, because the fact that this exists and that you're the one that created it, it's like I can die and know that like my work here on planet Earth is done. And I was just like, I fucking lost it after that.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
We love you, mama. I love you,
mom. We love you, mom.
She's the best. She's the best human. You know, because I saw you took her to Paris. You guys went to Paris.
We did.
Is that like a place that she's been, she wanted to go, right?
It was a place that I wanted to take her. I'm obsessed with Paris. I've been there multiple times, and I wanted to do something to celebrate the fact that I no longer had to take PTO thanks to betting on myself and going and working for myself. So we spent, actually, it was like right around the 1 year anniversary of when I quit my job. We did a mother-daughter trip, all expenses paid. Beautiful Airbnbs, first class flights, like no holds barred. We even went to the Louis Vuitton store and got matching purses. It was just a fucking vibe. And I wanted her to see, like, mom, this is why I did this. This is why I did the crazy shit. I quit the safe job with the pension, with the golden handcuffs, because I wouldn't have been able to do this. And this moment that we get to now share is a direct result of taking a risk and betting on myself. So,
oh my there gosh. You go. Mama, we love you. Okay, so somebody's listening and they're salivating and they're like, oh my God, Amazon, where do I get the book? I need this right now. They're where you were. Maybe they're working in a job they really hate and they want to go off and do their own thing. What can they expect from this book? Ooh.
You know, I think it's what you call a loving bitch slap. I think those are your words specifically. That book is, if you've ever listened to the podcast, you know exactly what this book is going to sound like. And it's funny because I've had people already listen to the audiobook version. And they're just like, why do I feel like you're talking to me in this book? And I'm like, because I probably am. But honestly, it's like, it's the book that I needed when I was graduating from high school. Or even like on that last day of college where I'm just like, oh, shit, I really got to be an adult out here because Sally Mae is going to come knocking on my door in 6 months. It's the book that will guide you regardless of where you are in your financial journey. If you are just starting out, if you are, you know, thinking about a career change, or you want to start pursuing financial independence, or you are planning to help your parents in retirement, you want to talk to your kids about college and how the hell we're going to pay for that, like all the things and more. We're talking about in the book, and it really is meant to be this guide that goes with you wherever you are in the financial journey. You know, a lot of the personal finance books that I saw being written specifically for like communities of color were a little too basic for me. I'm like, we know how to budget. We know how to save. We know how to scrimp. We don't need no more of that advice. Mm-hmm. Obviously we talk about it in the book, but we got to be talking about how do rich people get rich? And it's not by clipping coupons. And it's not by budgeting. So we're talking about how to increase your income, how to invest, how to pursue financial independence, how to pass on wealth to your children. Because that's one of the things that frustrates me so much about being Latina and seeing how damn hard we work as the community and we have nothing to show for it. And time again, generation after generation, our kids are starting from fucking zero. Yeah. That needs to stop. And so I want us to be in positions where we are not accepting what is given to us. We are pursuing what is actively and rightfully ours. And so hopefully this book helps you do that.
Oh, damn. I cannot wait to get your ass over there right now. So tell us, where can we find the book? And tell us about, I know that it might have already sold out, but you got some. Tell us about the book tour, where we can find the book and how we can connect with you.
Yes, you can find out all the details about Financially Lit, order your copy of the physical book as well as the audiobook version, and find out where I am stopping on the Financially Lit book tour, all at financiallylitbook.com.
Janice, I love you. I'm so proud of you. You were fucking amazing.
Thank you so much. I love you, and thank you for having me on the show. Oh, I love this podcast. Like, I'm a true fan.
Same. Are you kidding me? I'm like, you just schooled all of us right now. Okay. Get the book, friends. And hopefully I get to see you in America this year.
Absolutely. We got to make that happen.
I love you, gorgeous. Thank you. Everybody head to the show notes. The link is there. Go and follow Janice. Go and listen to the Yo Quiero Dinero podcast. And if you listen to this, tag us so that we can reshare this. Thank you so much. Get that book. I cannot wait. Financially Lit, baby. We'll be right back.
Thank you so much for listening. I freaking love you. I appreciate you. Thank you for your ears and your energy and your attention. Thank you for letting me into your world. And thank you so much for listening and tuning in to this podcast. There are so many podcasts you can listen to, and I deeply, deeply, for real, appreciate you listening to mine. Do me one big favor, one big thing. Please share this episode or this podcast with a woman who you know needs to hear this. This is my mission on planet Earth, to serve as many women as possible so that we could show up, stand up, speak up, and create the confidence and the life that we desire. I appreciate you, my love. I will see you on the next episode.